from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
New York City. You are now rapping. With 50 Cent.
Before I complain about USA soccer, and I could also complain about Italy soccer, because actually, you know, growing up an Azzurri fan, that's usually my first priority. However, as you know, an Italian American, grew up playing soccer, I want the home country to be really good as well, man. But before I get to that, we got Trevor here for Hollywood, Alex Dono in for Joe. Everyone wants to know what's cooking on Biscayne Boulevard. Are the Miami Heat going to do something this offseason? Because you've got other teams in the East getting better. You've got other teams in the East wheeling and dealing. Whereas for Miami, obviously, tremendous disappointment earlier this week. I think it was on Tuesday we found out, not that I was too surprised by this, but that Donovan Mitchell is signing his extension in Cleveland. Because a lot of folks were hoping that if there is a whale, or at least an orca, to be had this offseason, maybe Donovan Mitchell would be the guy, but he's not going to be the guy because he's committed to the Cleveland Cavaliers long term. This is from a report co-written by Barry Jackson and Anthony Chang in the Miami Herald on, you know, the Heat. They have, I think, $7 million in cap space right now. But quote, there's a reason the Heat hasn't quickly spent that money. According to three people who have had contact with the Heat, Miami wants to maintain flexibility with that space in case an opportunity to add a high-level player becomes available. There have been Heat trade discussions with teams, including one with substantial cap space, though further details are unclear. One of the sources said Miami also wants to see what good players become available in the trade market in the days and weeks ahead. So any holding pattern, they say, is the byproduct of preferring to leave options open to pursue something meaningful, not a reluctance to spend. Such an opportunity could take a couple of days or several weeks to emerge. So, yeah, I mean, anybody out there who is like saying, oh, this organization has become cheap, they don't want to spend, that's not the case. I think they're willing to spend in the right situation. The issue that they've been in, though, is for a number of years, the Heat just haven't had the right assets to make blockbuster deals. Now, you know, they should have made it. I don't think it was their fault last summer that they didn't make a deal for Dame Lillard, because Lillard wanted to be here. It's just the GM of Portland had a blood feud and agenda against Pat Riley, would do anything possible, Joe Cronin, to make sure that didn't happen. But in a lot of other cases, the Heat just haven't had, even when they have the leverage, they just don't have the pieces to strike these big deals, which has been troubling. And they comment on that on Bleacher Report. It's unclear what high-level player via trade would be available at this point. If you take a look at the names often discussed in trade rumors this year, the possibilities don't seem great or are now impossible. DeJounte Murray is on his way to New Orleans. Donovan Mitchell signed an extension to stay with the Cavaliers. Mikal Bridges is a New York Knick. Lauri Markkanen has been the subject of trade rumors, but other teams outside the Heat have been seen as serious suitors, and it's unclear if Utah would part with him anyway. So I think the name that has come up and is going to keep coming up, at least for the next few days, is Trae Young. And I would want Trae Young to end up in Miami just so I could hear Channing Crowder talk about him, because he always talks about the hair, and it's like, I don't know, man. And obviously, great offensive player, natural scorer, doesn't play a lick of defense, which, you know, could be a little bit of an issue. I don't necessarily think he turns the Heat into a championship contender, but if you're looking at making a trade, making a deal that moves the needle, that may be one of the few options you have left. Him or DeMar DeRozan would be like one of the few potentially available players who could move the needle at least a little bit.
I just don't see the needle moving in Trae Young. I really don't get the hype of him at all. I just really don't. This is
great scorer.
He's a great scorer, but it's also just me. It's the Atlanta Hawks. What have they done ever since Dominique Wilkins, really? What I will always say to Hawks fans. Like, why? Like, how are you a Hawks fan? It's like, it's dysfunctional. It's like taking like the worst player, the best player on the worst team. Like they did that with Terry Rozier, who's on the worst team, which is the Charlotte Hornets. I don't like the idea of dumpster diving for the best player on the worst team. And I just don't get it. It's just me. It's like Lauri Markkanen. He was a top 10 pick, and Chicago drafted him, and he's been horrendous. Yeah. Though he's resurfaced in Utah, but it's Utah, honestly. Ryan Smith has other things to worry about since he has a hockey team now, and the Jazz are second fiddle now. That's how I view it. The Heat have pretty much fallen asleep at the wheel. I could also see why they don't want to move anyone. That second apron is the worst thing, and how the new NBA.
Oh, it's terrible. NBA, they don't want to get into that.
The NBA CBA is probably the worst thing I've ever seen. Like, I understand the NHL CBA a little more than the NBA one. Like, there's a first apron, a second apron. And I look at this, it's like, we just have a hard cap. Like, you'd be forced to pay, like, everyone's money, like how the NHL does. That would be more entertaining to me, anyways, but they don't do that. For the Heat, they need someone. Like, I know Kevin Durant wants out of Phoenix. Like, why won't they just do that? I know it's the obvious one, and I feel like no one's saying it. It's just, if you want to be entertaining, if you want to win the East.
It's been said, yeah.
Just call up Matt Ishiba. He wants out of the Kevin Durant business. Give him a call. I don't know what it is with Pat Riley. He's done a few deals with Phoenix before. He got Dan Majerle there once, out of there once, and Cedric Ceballos as a Laker. Like,
he sent Shaq over there, got Sean Marion and some other pieces.
Yeah, like, and Bo Outlaw, too. People forget that name. And, like, they're always, just call them. Just give them the call, really. Like, you see, like, the Golden State Warriors, they got rid of Klay Thompson. They're getting, what's his face, from Philadelphia now. And his sign and trade is like, are the Heat just falling asleep at the wheel? That's what I'm going to say. Like, is anyone over there? Because right now, I think the Panthers are taking over as the cool winter sports team now in South Florida.
Yeah, Bill Zito, he's trying to put himself into that great GM of all time conversation down here. And obviously, Pat Riley, he's the king. He's right at the top of that list. When you talk about like great executives, Pat Riley, of course, is up there. I wouldn't put any Dolphins executive. I mean, I guess you could say, you know, because back in Don Shula's day, he was also the one picking the players. So you could put him in there. It was a different era, of course. But, yeah, Riley, Bill Zito's getting there. Nobody modern day for the Dolphins you would put in there. I mean, maybe for the Marlins. Dave Dombrowski from back in the day, you might put him in there. By the way, one of my best friends growing up, his last name is Dombrowski. And this was, like, right during the era, like, when the Marlins were building great teams.
When they were cool.
Series 97. He had convinced... I was in seventh grade at the time, and he had convinced our entire class that Dave Dombrowski was his uncle because they happen to have the same last name. I found out like 3 years later, no relation. It was all a con. So we were running trade questions by him. We were like, tell your uncle, you know, to trade for so-and-so. And he's like, I will. I'll run it up the chain of command. And then I found out in like 10th grade, no relation.
Trade Edgar Renteria for Derek Jeter. Who says no? Do the deal. Yeah,
Bill Zito is the thing right now.
Bill
Zito's
the
thing.
He's also the face of USA Hockey, too, with Matthew Tkachuk, anyways. When you look at it, it's like, right. I will say this down here. Like, Pat Riley's the GOAT down here for executives and stuff. Bill Zito's running for that little mantle right now, and he's doing it really well. He made a team that's been horrendous in my entire life. I'm not a Panther fan here. Seeing them as the dumpster diver, the Florida Panthers of all time, not paying anybody, be a relevant franchise down here. And that was right. The Heat before Pat Riley come. He's doing it up at Sunrise. Pat Riley's over there. He's just chilling, lighting a cigar, and just chilling, waiting for that move. Everyone's making moves in front of you. Do you want to get swept by the Boston Celtics again? Like, does Pat Riley want that on his resume? again? Do you think so?
Well, here's the thing. This is a valid point by Tommy in Hialeah. He says, guys, the Heat have no capital. What don't you understand? No number one draft picks. Stars cost draft picks. But then, and I agree with you, but my question is, why do they not have capital? Because of previous moves they've made, which have gotten them into the play-in two straight years, and will probably do that again. I look at the Heat as somewhere between a 7-10 seed heading into next year. So why don't you have capital? That comes from mistakes of the past, which don't allow you to make big moves now in the present.
Plus, they don't also have a point guard. I feel that's just me. They truly missed on a point guard, drafting one of
They got to get Scary Terry healthy. Apparently he is now. There's a report by my guy Ethan at Five Reasons Sports that he's going to be full go for training camp coming up, which is important because he was not healthy last year, which, you know, didn't help the situation after you acquired him. So that was hopefully a move that pays more dividends this coming season than paid last season. And then you've got Jimmy Butler playing on a contract year when he wanted a new deal. So he's going to be salty. So I guess my question on Jimmy is, does Jimmy being salty about not getting the long-term extension now? I mean, I guess you could have a similar conversation with Tua, except Jimmy has accomplished a lot more than Tua Tagovailoa has. But like, where's Jimmy's mind going to be playing out the final year of a deal when he wanted an extension? Is he just going to ball out? I hope so, because it's a contract year for him. And maybe you actually help the Heat be a higher seed, avoid the play-in, maybe actually, you know, win a round or two of the playoffs again. Or is Jimmy going to be at a point where he's perfectly fine taking more games off? I'm going to show up in Brazil. I'm going to show up at Art Basel and maybe not play a game tonight, which was a big problem for the Heat last year.
Wait, he showed up for availability or lack thereof? I did not know he showed up at Art Basel once.
I might have made that up, but I'm pretty sure he did show up at Art Basel.
I know he showed up to Formula One and was talking a lot of smack to everybody.
That might be what I'm thinking. It might have been Formula One, not Art Basel. But maybe he showed up to both. I can't remember.
Like, I feel he's going to take more games off. I really do. I have that weird feeling. Like, if it's a rando game versus Minnesota in Minnesota, or any rando Midwest flyover city like Utah or like Oklahoma City, he ain't playing. Like, and as someone who did all those games, like, I was at the point like, if Jimmy ain't playing, why am I producing these games, honestly? I'm at the point, like, if he wants to do load management, I should get a few load management games anyways.
Yeah, producers get no load management.
No.
I'm very frustrated on multiple fronts with my international soccer teams, okay? So my Azzurri, at least they got to the knockout stages, and they were soundly beaten by Switzerland in the round of 16 in the Euros, which is like for Italy to get outplayed by Switzerland, it should not happen.
Wait,
like,
Switzerland plays soccer?
Of course they do.
I did not know that.
They're not bad. They're not bad.
I did not know that. I thought they only play hockey there.
Well, you thought they were so neutral that they didn't play soccer?
Yes. Where's David Abisher at right now, anyways? The only famous goalie they ever had, anyways, in the NHL.
No, they got a decent soccer team, but they still, like, the Italian national team should not be getting completely outplayed by Switzerland. That happened. But then, like, okay, if I don't have Italy advancing through the Euros, which they won that tournament 3 years ago, if I don't have Italy advancing through the Euros, hopefully I can have my Team USA, which are FIFA world-ranked number 11, which is very respectable.
Wait.
They can't get out. Yeah.
They're ranked number 11?
Shouldn't be, but they are. And Italy was ranked number 10th, by the way. So number 10 and number 11, both teams underperforming.
This sounds like the BCS USA standings almost.
Yeah, they're in an easy group in Copa America where them and Uruguay should be, as Uruguay took care of their business, USA did not, should be advancing no problem. And they can't get out of the group. And it's like, so you have, and you grade USA soccer on a curve because they've never won a World Cup before. You know, for 40 years, we talk about this as the great up-and-coming sport in America. Like, we've been saying that since I was a little kid. I'm 39 years old. Since I was a little kid, it's like, just wait. Team USA, at some point, they're going to be winning every World Cup. They're going to be winning every international tournament. It's like we still can't get out of that quicksand, despite the fact that arguably the most, definitely one of the most talented collections of players that the United States has ever had in soccer. And you've got this bum Berhalter who, I don't know how this guy still has a job. Like, they let his contract run out before. They keep bringing this dude back, and they can't get out of an easy group in Copa America, which is such a big opportunity. That's a huge international tournament. You know, the USA is not regularly in that, but Copa America brings in guests. They're the host country this year. And you get knocked out in Kansas City. So you're playing in the heartland of the USA. It's absolutely humiliating. And like, people used to complain about Jurgen Klinsmann when he was the coach, but it's like, we had it so much. But like, I would take Klinsmann back in a heartbeat.
I'll take Bruce Arenas back. How about that? Give me Bruce Arenas back. He built the program up. You know?
Yeah, right.
I have a take, and you may want to kill me, or you just want to run through the screen and just strangle me.
Oh, here we go.
I know there's one guy who could probably fix anything. He brought a baseball team to Arizona. He made the Phoenix Suns be relevant. He fixed USA basketball. I'm on the biggest limb of all biggest limbs. Can we just get Jerry Colangelo to fix USA soccer? I feel like he's the only person that could fix anything. Anything USA related. USA basketball was a total joke. No one wanted to participate until like last second. Like Vince Carter had a dunk. The 04.
That's his wheelhouse. Like, what does he know about soccer?
He could pay the right. He has a bunch of money, probably. Find the best coach available that's not American, it's overseas, or start sending out these kids to all these soccer camps in England. Just start doing that. Like, you're American, you want to play soccer? We're sending you to England.
We are doing that now, and we've got, you know, USA has more players playing in relevant European leagues than ever before, because, you know, you're not going to get that much better if you play in the MLS. Yeah. You got to go over. You got to be, playing in Europe.
The MLS is like the KHL, pretty much. It's like, everyone's not here to get a final paycheck, pretty much. Think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's true. So the thing is, man, they need some direction. They need some coherent coaching. I don't know, man, if Jerry Colangelo has like a relative, like Clive Colangelo, maybe his English cousin over there knows how to fix a soccer organization.
It's not a bad idea. Like, get him to fix it. Like, the one person you don't want is like John Henry, because he's a billionaire. He's trying to buy everything up right now. If you make him run USA Soccer, he'll nickel and dime that to death anyways.
Of course. That's what he does. That's what he does with Liverpool. He had some stake. I think he sold it a couple years ago with the rival of my favorite club. My favorite club is Inter Milan. He had stake in AC Milan, who's not been great. They did win a Scudetto a couple of years ago, but my Inter have won two of them in the past 4 years. So there is that. But yeah, it's embarrassing, because my entire life we've talked about United States soccer being this up and coming thing. And obviously with MLS, there's some progress being made with the domestic league. It's great having Messi here. And by the way, Messi got bailed out by his keeper yesterday. Emiliano Martinez, that man of the match yesterday. So Argentina, and somebody pointed this out on the text line, that like USA, like they need to learn to win ugly. Like Argentina won ugly yesterday against Ecuador. They went to the PK shootout. Messi missed his PK, but Emiliano Martinez made two saves in the penalty kick. Like, he was the hero. That was the guy who stood tall, and Argentina advances against Ecuador. So give me some ugly wins like that. 305-567-0560. Joe Rose Show continues next here on WQAM. Yes, 8 o'clock hour here on the Joe Rose Show, day after 4th of July, AM 560 Sports WQAM. Alex Dono alongside Trevor Harris. Now, Trevor, this has been a busy 4th of July week for me covering the Miami Hurricanes, because Mario Cristobal, he does not sleep, and he keeps landing commit after commit after commit in recruiting.
Does he enjoy a barbecue? Does he even enjoy a barbecue or light fireworks at all? Like, come on. Like, it's 4th of July.
I think so, because they're not this week, like they can't actually actively recruit players, but they're getting commitments from guys that they've already recruited. So he might be barbecuing this week, because it's technically a dead period. Like, they can't actually host players and stuff until the end of the month. In fact, at the end of July, they're going to do a barbecue as a recruiting event coming up. But you know, this week Miami landed four-star linebacker Gavin Nix on Monday. By the way, if you guys are interested in hearing what Gavin Nix is all about, I did interview him on Locked On Canes on Tuesday night. He was fantastic. You would never know he's 17-year-old kid, essentially. I mean, he carries himself like a 27-year-old grown man, and I can't wait to cover him at Miami. So Monday they landed Gavin Nix. Wednesday Miami landed class of 2026 quarterback Darian Coleman. Yesterday, Miami landed arguably the best safety in the class of 2025, Hilton Drake Stubbs. And then today, after I'm done here at 10 a.m., Trevor, I'm not really done because I'm going to be getting ready for potentially some good news with one of the top interior offensive linemen in the country. S.J. Alofi-Tuli is going to be announcing around noon today. So hopefully I get some more fireworks after the 4th of July. Miami lands a big interior offensive lineman, and they're going to have probably, hopefully, a top 10 recruiting class for right now by the end of the day today. So I am on the lookout for another Miami Hurricanes.
Could these offensive linemen make some pancakes? That's the better one. I need pancakes on this offensive line. I want pancakes. I don't care what anyone says. Make holes, pancakes. I want to see touchdowns. I want to see running up the gut touchdowns all the time.
Yeah.
So that's all I want. I want this team to be exciting. I want to see them blow out Florida, if that could happen, or a close game.
For me, it's just win. I don't care if they win by a point or 100 points, but yeah,
Al Davis. I want the team to go vertical, if you know what you're talking about. I want vertical action, yo.
Yes, sir. And hopefully you get it with Cam Ward. I mean, and Miami also. So Ward had a great offseason so far. I was covering him during spring, and he has the full respect of his teammates. He does a lot of off-scheduled workouts with guys. He invites guys over to his house. A lot of team-building stuff, takes players fishing, which I love the idea of that. And he looked really good in spring. And Miami actually has the top-graded receiving core in the conference heading into the year. Xavier Restrepo, who had over 1,000 yards last season, Jacoby George coming back. He had over 800 yards last year. They brought in Sam Brown from Houston, who played for Shannon Dawson, the offensive coordinator.
All right.
He had over 800 yards receiving last year. Isaiah Horton had a really good spring. So the passing game should be on point. And I think for the Hurricanes, the tight end unit is going to wake up.
Oh, yeah.
Last year, you had injuries to the tight end room, just a lot of misfortune with Elijah Arroyo being hurt for pretty much the entire year. They only had 18 catches from that entire position group last year.
That's unacceptable.
I think we're going to see a renaissance from the tight ends because Elijah Arroyo is healthy now. Riley Williams, who I like a lot, is heading into his second year. I think he's going to be more comfortable. I think these guys are going to benefit from having Cam Ward. And this true freshman tight end that the Hurricanes have, this guy looks like he's going to be the secret weapon, Elijah Lofton. This guy, during spring football, lining up everywhere, running back, receiver, tight end. This guy's the Swiss Army knife of that offense. And Elijah Lofton comes out of the same powerhouse high school that S.J. Alofi-Tuli, the guy Miami's hoping to land today, Bishop Gorman in Las Vegas, which is like, it's like the IMG Academy of
That's where Snoop Dogg coached at, right?
Did he?
I know he sent kids there, I believe. From his Scott, whenever
maybe
was,
so.
That's what I'm thinking. I've always heard Bishop Gorman, the king of the, they are the king of college football in Vegas anyways.
Yeah, it's a massive, massive program, Bishop Gorman.
When you have kids coming from L.A., South Central, Long Beach, San Diego, going to Vegas to Bishop Gorman, that means two things.
Yeah.
It's you're winning, and you can live out there. With no problems. And you can train no matter what.
Or you may be losing, depending on how your luck is.
So the funny thing about Vegas, like living in the Vegas Henderson area, it's all very nice areas, by the way. Very nice. He was like, what's it like living in Vegas? I have a friend who lives out there. It's like, dude, it's awesome. That's what it is. Like, no one lives on the Strip.
I've heard the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, actually. So when you look at it, it's like, when you have recruits coming from out of there, it means they're good blue chip prospects, I like to say. I always say if you recruit more of the West Coast kids out of Bishop Gorman and some other places from the South, you're good. You can win football games.
Yeah, and that's something Miami has done a good job with Cristobal, not only locking down a lot of important local players, like, within the last week, Miami's landed 4-star cornerback Chris Ewald from Chaminade Madonna, which is a tremendous high school program down here in the Hollywood area. You got two Chaminade players from last year, both going to be awesome. Josiah Trader and Zaquan Patterson, a wide receiver and a safety. Now, unfortunately, you missed out on Jeremiah Smith, who is the top receiver in the country from that high school, went to Ohio State because Ohio State, they don't miss out on receivers, unfortunately for us. Brian Hartline lands everybody up there. But you landed within last week, Ewald from Chaminade and Amari Wallace and Ezekiel Marcelin from Central. But Miami is also, they've done a tremendous job recruiting Central Florida and Jacksonville. That's where they got Hilton Stubbs, Drake Stubbs, the 4-star safety from yesterday. He's from Mandarin High School in Jacksonville. They've landed a ton of players from the Tampa and Orlando area already, and they've landed a lot of players from Georgia. So the recruiting is getting pretty national. And Cristobal already had, he already had connections to the West Coast, because when he was in Oregon, they were heavily recruiting.
He took every kid from LA. That's the funnier thing. I usually keep an eye on the LA stuff. Like, doesn't matter what offensive lineman you are, you're going to Oregon, and pretty much. And like, if you can get that pipeline all the way down to South Florida, you got some ballers right there. You got some dogs, as someone would say.
You got some dogs. 305-567-0560. That's 305-567-0560 on the Kendall Toyota West Kendall Toyota text line. Our buddy Solana was listening when we were talking Heat and soccer. We caught his attention. He says for Heat moves, he says Phoenix is not trading Durant. Trae Young is unlikely, but I'd be down for it if they can swing that. And that's like, if they can swing that, it's probably the biggest move that they could make right now. Otherwise, we're going to continue to see Riley have to play the waiting game, see if somebody becomes available. And I guess if you're going to look for the silver lining for the Miami Heat this year, if you don't make a big move, you got to be hopeful that Jimmy is healthier and more available this year. Because you were, of course, missing him during that unfortunate series against the Boston Celtics. You were missing Jimmy there. You did win one game without him, but you got the gentleman swept in that one. So you got to hope Jimmy's healthy. And you also, like, you got to hope for continued development for Nico Jovic and for Jaime Jaquez Jr. So that's one of those things. This might be one of those seasons where Heat fans are kind of watching to see how certain young players do. And of course, you know, Bam is a borderline superstar. He's not a number one scorer, but he's a good number two. So you want to continue to see Bam hopefully dominate. We'll see what happens with Tyler Hero. Do you see Tyler Hero, his interesting social media activity
This week? I can't follow him on Insta. I can't follow any Miami Heat player on my Insta. It's just like nothing entertaining at all. And Tyler Hero, I just like, it's like, you're strange. I don't want to follow you, honestly.
See, I didn't realize you could still see what tweets people like. I thought Elon got rid of that, where like you can't see like what people. But so Tyler Hero got caught like he was liking X posts or tweets with people basically talking about how toxic the Miami Heat fan base is, and like he was like liking those tweets.
It's like, I kind of like that already. I like that already. You know, there's a certain subject area of Heat fans I don't like either. I think they're delusional. That like they believe everything Pat Riley says. It's just almost like a green teamer does in a Celtic fan that believes anything that Tommy Heinsohn once said. Also,
yeah. You know, I sometimes I'll look in a mirror and I'll see the toxicity within fan bases that I'm a part of, right? Like sometimes I'll say, man, Dolphin fans really annoying, and they get in civil wars all the time over Tua. Heat Twitter has kind of been in a civil war with this offseason so far. Yeah, I love the Miami Hurricanes more than anything. There's obviously some toxic Hurricane fans, but then if you zoom out, Trevor, every fan base has toxicity. That's not something that's specific to any of my teams. It's not something that's specific to South Florida or Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Every fan base has toxicity. I mean, you can't tell me Eagles fans don't have an aspect
of
that.
Go look at Eagles Twitter. I've been banned from that, actually. I got banned from Eagles Twitter. Flyers Twitter wants to, like, nail me to a cross almost, because I've hated a lot of executives back in my time. And I've also went after Paul Holmgren really well. I went after Homer really well, saying Paul Holmgren's drunken sailorness after giving a 4-year deal of Vinny LeCavier, who's already got bought out and was already cooked anyways. And also giving 9 years and 10 and 11-year deal to Jeff Carter. 9-year deal to Ilya Bryzgalov. How about that? That's the best.
So, you know, I mean, honestly, like, find me a fan base that isn't toxic. I mean, I know, like, the Florida State fans will be like, oh, we're the perfect fan. You guys are a bunch of Karens. Like, every time, like, anytime somebody says something nasty about Florida State, like, they run these smear campaigns against Kirk Herbstreit because Herbstreit didn't think they should have been. And by the way, I do think Florida State should have gotten into the 4-team playoff. I think they earned it last year. I don't think they would have won it or had a chance to win it, but they without Jordan Travis, of course, who had a broken leg. But I do think they earned it and they should have been put into the field. But Kirk Herbstreit said that they shouldn't have been in. And so Florida State fans act as if he's the one who made the decision. Like, he's not on the committee. They go after this guy. They're suing everybody.
That's the education of Florida State fans. They don't know who to blame anyways. That's the funny thing. They start suing people. They know how to yell at people. They know how to make scenes and stuff anyways.
It's like, I don't even understand why. Like, I understand, obviously, like, I'm a Miami alumnus. I was lucky enough to be able to go there with some financial aid because I was very smart, right? So I didn't have to pay the full way, thankfully. But, like, I don't understand why you would go to Florida State when, like, Florida is ranked way higher than Florida State. And they're both state schools. So really the only reason why you would go to Florida State is if you can't get into Florida, right? Like, why else would you go to Florida State?
I was always told Florida had the better education. That's what I was told.
It does. No, Florida has a way better education than Florida State.
I was told by, I'm going to drop his name, Colin Thompson. It's the Ivy League of Florida, by the way. The Ivy League of the SEC. Next to Vanderbilt. That's saying something.
Yeah,
that's next to Vanderbilt. Yeah. I look at my buddy. He's like, really? It's like, oh, yeah, it's true like that. I was like, okay, I'll take your word for it anyway. So that's why. So
yeah, also Florida has and I don't really know how the whole tuition thing works, but I would assume since they're both state schools, the tuition is probably the same or very similar between Florida and Florida State, right?
I have no idea. I never went to school down here. That's a funny thing. I went to school in the Midwest anyways, and that was even more of a hamstring anyways. Anything from the Midwest and you look from the East Coast perspective, oh, it's cheap. But when you look at it, it's like, oh, geez, never mind that. That's why. Like I was looking at like schools down here. It costs more for being out of state. It's like, I should get residency, but I don't want to, honestly.
Yeah, it does cost more being out of state, for sure. Yes. I think it's like that everywhere, though. I think anywhere you go,
yeah,
it's going to cost more.
Definitely.
Yeah. 305-567-0560. If you want to get in, share your infinite wisdom with us. I'm sure I pissed off the Florida State fans now for this.
I do that all the time. I said, like, some Florida State fan told me one time, I was at a bar, Jordan Travis would be a great NFL quarterback. Like, yeah, it's coming from someone who likes Christian Ponder as well.
He did well with the marriage, but other than that, are they still together, Christian and Sam Ponder?
Yes, they are.
Okay. 305-567-0560. We wrap up the 8 o'clock hour when we come back here on AM 560 Sports WQAM. And you know it's a holiday weekend when, again, we hear Amy on traffic say, I've never seen traffic in Miami look this good. She's got nothing to talk about, right? I mean, you're doing traffic reports. Like, all I could do is say how great the roads are. What a refreshing day it is to be doing traffic in South Florida today. Now, I know, Trevor, you've driven in a lot of cities, especially you've driven a lot more in the Northeast than I have. Miami traffic, it's always going to be bad, but I maintain what makes the traffic here worse than it needs to be are all the accidents and broken down vehicles. Because I've driven a lot in L.A., which has L.A. traffic is worse than Miami traffic, but one of the differences is you don't see fender benders every 50 feet on the highway. So it could be way worse there if they got – people just don't get into as many accidents other places as they do here. Atlanta traffic is really bad. I've driven in that before. I don't think – I've never driven in, like, New York traffic, as you probably have, I'm sure.
I've done
– what's the worst traffic you've experienced?
All right. Here, I'm going to do a top five. Boston's bad, by the way. Boston's pretty bad.
But yeah, the time I was in Boston a while back, but I was just doing like public transportation everywhere. Yeah. I didn't drive.
Before the big dig and after the big dig, everything was above, now everything's underground. Both are bad.
Oh, so they moved the highways underground?
Yeah. Oh, okay. It took almost 12 years to do it because they wanted to get the Olympics. Jeez. It never happened. Boston's bad. New York's bad, obviously. Chicago was bad. I drove out to Chicago.
I've never been to Chicago.
Chicago's pretty wild. Detroit was not bad at all, but they're not on the list. LA is bad.
Does anyone live there anymore? It seems like nobody lives in Detroit.
Dude,
anymore.
It's literally a racetrack on Interstate 75 out there anyways.
Really?
Oh yeah, it's a racetrack. Just don't be racing in the wintertime. That's where everyone gets in the accidents and stuff.
Every slip and slide on the ice.
Oh yeah. My god, yes. Yeah. What a house. LA's bad, San Diego's bad. I got to throw South Florida.
You ever been in NorCal? I've never been.
No, I have friends in NorCal. They worked for the game and you know, for Odyssey. That traffic's a mess anyway. So the only thing that was bad today was there was a backup on 95 when I was coming down from work. It was like I literally took the side streets all the way back up to get back to the highway and stuff. So it was near the Ives Dairy. It was like a block, three blocked lanes and stuff.
Gotcha.
At four.
By the way, got some clarification on why someone would choose to go to Florida State. And this actually, Trevor, this is valid. Okay. So text.
This better be a valid answer.
No, he says UM fan here, but he says FSU girls are way hotter than UF girls. So if you're looking for a reason to contrast the two, and you know what? He's not wrong, because I will say every time Florida State come, like I've never been on their campus before, so I don't really know what's happening up there. But every time Florida State comes down to play Miami, they bring some bad ones down with them, as our guy Dan Day would say. They bring some bad ones down here. So I can understand that point.
I'd rather just go to Arizona State then. They're all bad ones everywhere.
Well, yeah, but I mean, kids from Florida, it'd be expensive to go to Arizona State.
Arizona State, hey, they'll take anybody in if you have a pulse. That's what I've always told my people.
I'm sure about that, but don't you, because it's a state school in another state, you have to pay more if you're from Florida, is what I'm saying.
Probably not.
Would be cheaper.
Yeah, but sometimes you want to explore anyway. Arizona State's another party school. It's like the Florida State of the West anyways.
I have heard it's a big.
It is a grand old time, as me and my buddy Eric would have gone through that campus many of times.
Now I know I'm going to get Trevor going with this one because he knows this school and he hates them. But somebody says, "Hey, Dono, perfect example of delusional fan bases would be Ohio State."
Oh, they are.
Head coach Ryan Day, he says the man has won 90% of his games and they want him fired. I mean, you are right about that, and also. I feel like former Ohio State legendary coaches like Urban Meyer and Jim Tressel, they're setting up Ryan Day to fail, because they keep talking about these former coaches that won titles. They keep talking about how great this team is and how their expectations, national champion. So I feel like they're trying to set up Ryan Day to fail, because he's right. If Ryan Day loses one game, like in the regular season, and then, you know, doesn't win the playoff this year, because Ohio State, Trevor, I've seen like where people break down the blue chip ratio, which is the roster percentages of 4 and 5 star players. That's blue chip ratio, which is not the end all be all, obviously. But Ohio State's blue chip ratio is 90%, like 20% higher than any other school in the country. That team is so stacked with talent. But people are setting it up where, like, if Ryan Day loses one regular season game and one playoff game, they're going to try to get that dude fired up there.
I would love every second of it, because I had Ohio State fans. I had to go to school when the allegations went down, when they fired Tressel. I was there when they loved Urban Meyer. I was there when Urban Meyer had to hide stuff from his OC. Yeah. And I was there. I left when Urban Meyer got suspended anyways. It would be the perfect program to happen to. See Ryan Day get fired, and also see Chip Kelly get fired too, because Ryan Day was under Chip Kelly's staff for the Philadelphia Eagles before he got let go by Boston College. So it couldn't happen.
Yeah, he threw Chip a bone to bring him on the staff. But yeah.
Yeah.
Chip would leave. Yeah.
It would be the perfect situation for me to see Ryan Day, that scumbag, get fired, because it'll make my heart so much better. I had to root for Michigan for so long when I was out there, because the Ohio State fans have ruined everything, including the Eagles. Like, I met a few Eagle fans, like, they're like, "You root for Ohio State?" It's like, "No, get the bleep out of it." Like, "What are you, Penn State fans?" Like, "No, the Eagles are number one." I don't get like, "Oh, whoa, like the Ohio State Eagle fans." Is like, "You don't care about Ohio State?" Like, "No, you're making me hate you guys even more now." Anyways, you care about the Ohio State over Philadelphia Eagles. Like, shoo, don't want to talk to you now.
And so, somebody, by the way, is picking on your taste in women. I don't understand what they're picking on, because you were talking about Arizona State. Arizona State is famous for being a party school and having a lot of talent. They are famous for that. But somebody says Trevor doesn't understand an Ohio 10 is really a Miami 6.
Ohio 10 is a Miami 4. Let's be honest.
Probably, yeah.
Someone who went to school is more cultured than that guy, anyways. I'll say what I want here anyways. Like, I'll take a nice Michigan girl is more entertaining and more educated than the Ohio State fan is anyways.
Is that so?
Oh, yes.
Wow, Michigan, firing shots.
I will fire shots.
Why don't, By the way, Michigan's one of the top schools in the country as well. Like one of those state schools that's like borderline, like almost Ivy League level.
Yes.
Michigan's a really good school.
Michigan's a great school. Anyways, great campus too. Michigan State, not the great school. That place smells.
No, not so great. That's a great 305-567-0560. We'll come back with the 9 o'clock hour Joe Rose Show here on AM 560 Sports WQAM.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.